Hey, greetings, sister. Sister Dab from don'tperish.com. Hey, we made it to our destination today, and I thought I would just make an audio and share some thoughts with you. We're at a park right now, a beautiful park. We know this town, we know this area of the state anyway. And so we decided to come to the park, work online. Brother Jim had some things to do in the van. I had a few things, and I'm going to work on my sister's post here in this audio for you. And he's working on a teaching. So I just thought I'd share that with you because we're in the park. Bunch of people going by, walking by, driving by. We have our signs on our gospel signs on the van. So anybody who might be seeking or looking or whatever, they can stop, talk to us. We're ready to give an answer. I was just going to share on the way here, Brother Jim and I were talking about how times are a lot different now than they used to be when we were growing up. Obviously, everything changes, but we're talking about how before the internet and all these modern conveniences and fast food and things like that, people were outside, they were in their yards, they're out in the parks, they were doing things. They didn't have their face in a phone or, yeah, there was some television or whatever. I kind of grew up without a lot of television in my life, which I'm thankful for. But anyway, there was a lot more people out and about doing things and walking around, especially way back in the biblical days. They used to stand around and talk and discuss things. But the more technology we have today, the less we see the people out and about. So we look for events. And what we see is a lot of times, well, we know what's going on now. A lot of times the events are canceled. And I think, I don't know what's going on with this year. We see a lot more coming out. But in order for us to get to events, Brother Jim did a teaching on this. We need the three P's: people, public access, and parking. And it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes, you know, you might have some parking, but the access isn't public and maybe there's not very many people or you can't quite get to them. So it's not like our whole life is centered around events. Our life is centered around Christ and just being out in the world. And that's something that we notice is, you know, if we were just sitting on the homestead, we wouldn't be out in the world reaching the people like we do in the gas stations, the parking lots, in a park. In fact, just today we were driving through a gas station and there was a guy in a car. He was like giving us a thumbs up. He had gold teeth. He looked like he was part of a gang just based on the way he was dressed. And we were leaving as he was doing it. Well, he ended up pulling out right behind us, pulled right up next to us and said, "We love Jesus too." Well, Brother Jim handed me a gospel card and I tried to hand it to him and he didn't want that. He said, no, I'm good. I got Jesus." Brother Jim said, "Well, you need to come out of the world and be called out and separate from it and be holy." And the guy's like, no, I'm good." And the guy in the back seat was, he was pointing his finger at him like, no, man, the world." And they took off. Brother Jim's going to do a teaching on, I think he said, golden calf and golden teeth, and kind of like corresponding how people want what they want. And anyway, just by being out in the world, having our signs on there, people see it. So yes, we definitely want the events because then Brother Jim can do street preaching, but yet we don't stop in between those. We're always out and about doing something. And like Brother Jim just said the other day, he said, you know, if we're sitting on the homestead, we don't get to meet all these people. And also another thing about this is when you're out in the world among all these people, you have a compassion for them because you see all the people, you see the sin, not that you're looking at it, but it's there. Everything is right in front of you. And you learn how to walk through the world, as I posted on the sister's blog, about being unspotted from it. What you see is like an urgency, a love for your fellow man. You see the sadness of the destruction that's coming to these people. So it puts you right out there, and it makes you want to be out there with the world, whereas our flesh would rather just be hiding away from it all and not dealing with it. But the spirit stirs and moves in you. So that's another thing about just being and living the life that we do in the van. It puts us in so many different places that we wouldn't be if we were just at home. Now, I'm not saying if a person is at home and doing what they're supposed to be doing, that's sinful. It's not. Everybody has a different calling. But I also want to warn you, sisters, that even though you're in your home, you still go to the grocery store, I'm sure. You're still probably out in public. Maybe you live in town and you're walking with your children or yourself, or you're doing your errands, and you are going to run into people. You're going to have contact with people for the most part, even if it's the same people all the time. And we have to be ready to give an answer. And that's 1 Peter 3:15. I want to read that. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now that's something we all have to be geared up for and ready for, because we sisters are a shining light in the face of a dark world. When we are biblically dressed and head covered, we're like that billboard walking down the sidewalk, walking through the grocery store. It's a conviction. It could be some darkness to some people because it's convicting them, or it's a bright shining light for, it's always a bright shining light, but it could be like a wonderful light for somebody who says, I've been wondering about that. You know, they might be just brand new and they go, okay, where did she learn how to dress and head cover? Where is that in God's word? That was me when I was first born again, trying to figure all that out. So even if you don't open up your mouth, and I'm not telling you not to, I'm just saying, just living an obedient life as a godly woman, being quiet, doing your duties at home. You're not out in the workforce. You're not a feminist. You're not pushing men around. You're not chasing after the dollar. And you're doing what God created you to do. And it's an awesome light. So I just want to encourage you in that. And I'm just kind of looking through my notes here. I had some bullet points here to share with you what's been going on. A man sent an email to Brother Jim about having mercy on a specific false teacher that Brother Jim exposed. And Brother Jim said that, I might want to share that with you, that mercy is not overlooking sin. And I'm not going to go into what mercy is, because he's got an article on it on the teaching blog. You can go there. And if you can't find it, let us know. We'll help you. And I think to wrap this up, I wanted to share some scriptures that sisters have been sharing together. The first few of these would be about hope, joy, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's remember that, sisters, when we go about our duties as Titus 2 women, not to get wrapped up so much in food and our homes and everything, because meat for the belly, meat for the belly, belly for the meat, and God can destroy both of them, or will destroy both. Our flesh is going to turn into dust. Where will our spirit go? What you focus on and what is what, I'm getting all tripped up here. What you focus on will magnify. So what we want to do is focus on God. Not like Mary and Martha. Mary had the right focus. Martha had the wrong one. Martha had to go do about the duties, but she was focused in making too much of a fuss about it. If you go look at the Greek word Jesus uses, you can see that. So anyway, we want to make sure that we keep everything in its rightful place. And just to let you know, this is real life. I don't script this all out. I'm not reading it off a notepad. So when I mess up, I'm just going to leave it there. And you'll just see it would be as if you and I were talking together. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. That's so uplifting, isn't it? Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I just want to add in here that we've had people come to us who say, I don't have any of those. Well, I could see somebody maybe brand new in the faith, having a lot of flesh in front of them. But people who have been claiming to be born again for a period of time, a year, maybe even less than a year, these things grow rather quickly within us. It doesn't mean they're perfected. You might have to kill your flesh and kind of go with them, but the Spirit of God moves these within us, and then we cultivate them into who we are. Psalm 68:3. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Yes, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, sisters. Let's magnify and rejoice in the Lord together. Lamentations 3:40-41. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Amen. I love that. Isaiah 45:8. Drop down ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let the righteous spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. And here's one about how God takes care of his people. Luke 11:15-13. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is shut now, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. So let that be good words to us, that if we ask in the will of the Father and we ask for wisdom like we see in James, the Father will give that to us. If we ask without doubting and go with boldness before the throne of God. He is here to help us, sisters, to help us through all our trials, all our troubles, and he's here for us to rejoice with when we overcome and we triumph through them. So anyway, just sharing some sister thoughts with you, and Lord willing, tomorrow we'll see what the Lord brings if we're still here, and I'll share what is put on my heart then. I hope you have a joyous evening, sisters. May God be praised.